it, but it was, there were songs of conviction. Songs that had to do with the conviction of your heart. And it goes right along with what we want to talk about tonight. So I really appreciate that. How many here have their Bible with them? I want you to raise it as high as you can. Raise it as high as you can. Boy, if you could stand here, that would be a wonderful sight. I see a few that don't have their Bibles with them. Put your Bibles down. Thank you very much. You know, we really should carry our Bibles with us when we come to the house of God. It's important to take your Bible with you. It's also important to take your Bible with you anywhere you go. I remember as a young teenager, just going into high school in the ninth grade, a man by the name of Jack Wurtson, he was a preacher, and he personally challenged me to carry my Bible to school as I went to public school. And that was probably a conviction of mine that probably shaped the course of my life in many ways. I remember the first time I brought that Bible to school and I put it on the top of my school books. My, that Bible looked like it was about 3 feet wide and 10 feet long. But I soon got used to carrying it and very comfortable carrying it. And it helped me to witness and to make a stand for Jesus Christ. You know, we need to be proud of our Bibles, valuing our Bibles, because this is what God has given us to live by. It's the authority that we have. I'm thankful that I live in a country and you live in a country where we can bring our Bibles everywhere we want to. There are people today, and there are Christians today, who live in lands where they don't have the Bible publicly. They have to hide it. They have to carry it in secret. And many of them have had it taken away. And for the Bible, many of them have gone to prison. How would you feel if tonight armies showed up on your dock carrying weapons and they went from house to house and they said, "Give me your Bible. We're collecting every Bible on Spanish Wells." And you have to turn over every Bible that you have. How much of it would be in your heart when the actual Bible was taken away from you? And then maybe later you were put into prison or put into a concentration camp or some place of suffering. How much of the Bible could you take with you? You see, they can take the pages. They can take the paper and the leather, but they can't take what you have taken of the Bible and put it in your heart. That's something they cannot take. They never will be able to take that. And so that's what I want to speak about tonight for just a few minutes, and that is, what is your grasp of the Scripture? And how do we grasp the Scripture so that when the government takes our Bible away, all they've taken is paper and leather, and they haven't really taken the Word from us. The Word is still in our hearts. Now, we've been talking this month a little bit about the hands. The Lord is my shepherd. We did an object lesson with regard to the four fingers and the one thumb and what they meant. And I'm going to suggest tonight one more time that we take the hand and we grab the Bible, and it's going to illustrate the grasp that we have a Scripture. Four fingers and one thumb. And I want to just illustrate what these four fingers and one thumb mean to us in terms of grasping the Scripture so that we will have it, even if the Word of God is taken away from us. One of them's already been read in the sword drill tonight. I was particularly thrilled with that. But let's take them in order. If someone would read for me 1 Timothy 4:12-13. Stand and read it. 1 Timothy 4:12-13. Thank you. One of the phrases in those verses was, "Give your attention to reading." Give your attention to reading. The other night I was talking to the young people, and I asked them, how many read your Bible every day? There was a very small percentage that raised their hands and said, I read my Bible every day. I wonder how many of you today, if I would ask that question, how many of you read your Bible every day? How many of you would be able to raise your hand? We should be reading our Bible every day. This is our food. Not too many of us skip three meals a day. If you look at me, you know that I don't skip three meals a day. But how many spiritual meals are you skipping? How many days maybe do you go without ever picking up the Word of God and reading it? Shame on us if we're not reading God's Word every day and having a consistent program to read so that we can read through the whole Bible maybe in a year. A very simple plan is 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. It'll bring you from Genesis to Revelation in 1 full year. Reading the Word of God. But it doesn't stop just with reading. I want someone to read Psalm 119, 9, 10, and 11. Psalm 119, 9, 10, and 11. Thank you. Okay, the first finger on the grip is reading the Word of God. The second finger on gripping the Word of God and getting a grasp of the Word of God is memorization, memorizing the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How many of us have a formal program of memorizing Scripture? Maybe taking one verse a week. Maybe working on a chapter. Take Romans chapter 12. Take Colossians chapter 3. Take Philippians chapter 2. Take John chapter 3. But take a verse a week. That's not hard to do, is it? A verse a week. And over time, commit a whole chapter to memory. Many of you knew a brother, August Van Rijn. There was a time in which he thought he was going to lose his eyesight. He memorized the entire New Testament and vast portions of the Old Testament because he thought he was going to lose the ability to see the Word of God. He began to hide it in his heart. And oh, how important it is to have the Word of God there. I have a father-in-law who's now 93 years old. But every situation that comes up, it seems he has a verse for everything. Have you ever met somebody like that? They have a verse for everything. And it comes from all over the Scripture because he's memorized so much of the Word of God. And he can speak the Word of God in different situations. So the second finger is to memorize the Word of God. But then someone read a verse with regard to meditation, but I want to give you a different one now. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Okay. Thank you. Is he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What does it mean to meditate? Well, you know, I haven't seen too many cows out here in the Spanish Wells. Are there any cows on the island? No. I saw a few goats. I almost hit a goat the other day. But I haven't seen any cows. But you know, the cows have a way of putting food in one stomach as they eat the grass. And then after they put the food in that one stomach, they bring it up to their mouth and they chew on it. It's called chewing the cud. I used to have a few cows in our yard and I would watch them as they sat there contentedly, bringing up from the stomach once again the grass they ate, and they would chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it, and then it would go back into a different stomach and there it would be incorporated into their body. They would make milk from it. Have you ever wondered how a brown cow can eat green grass and give you white milk? It's real hard. Well, the key is they have two stomachs. But they chew the cud. This is what meditating means. To take something from Scripture and turn it over and over and over in your mind. That's the literal translation of the word meditate in the Greek language. It means to turn over and turn over and turn over and turn over. There's some wonderful verses in Scripture that we could take within our hearts and then just dwell upon them and turn them over and over and over in our minds. My, how rich that verse becomes when we begin to consider it over and over and over again. You know, sometimes we read the Scripture, and you're probably like me. There's times that I've read a chapter, and I got halfway through it, and I said, now, what have I read? I don't even remember what I just read. Because my mind is drifting. My mind is somewhere else, and I'm not focused on what the Word is saying to my heart. But take a little verse, a precious verse, and just meditate on it. Turn it over and over and over. And the Spirit of God will begin to speak to your heart in ways that you've never heard before in terms of what that verse means to you and how precious it can become to you. And so the hand is on the Bible. Read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Someone read for me 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, all of you know what it is to study. I know that you've been to school. I know what it is when you have a test and you have to study for that test and you go over the material. And you make sure that you know it well. Well, the Bible says that God wants us to study His Word. It's not reading it. It's not memorizing it. It's not meditating on it. If you've done those three things, you still haven't studied the Word of God. Studying the Word of God is an entire process that's involved in terms of comparing Scripture with Scripture. Looking at what the words mean. Looking at contrasts and comparisons, looking at metaphors and similes, looking at progressions, looking at lists, looking at the theme, looking at the authorship, looking at the outline of the passage, looking at the historical background of the text, looking at the author and what he was going through, and on and on and on. It's taking the Bible and literally picking it apart and putting it back together so that we fully understand it, not only in light of its immediate context, but in light of the full context of Scripture. If your Bible was taken away from you, would you be able to describe to somebody what the Bible is all about from Genesis to Revelation? Could you tell them what's happening in the first five books, and then what happens in the historical books, and then could you tell them what's going on in the poetical books, and then the prophetic books? Could you tell them about the Gospels and what Acts is about? You see, the Bible is all tied together. And there's themes that run from Genesis to Revelation. There's golden gems to be mined from the Word of God. But it takes hard work. It takes study. It takes diligent study. There are many helpful tools to help you study. I would just suggest that the Emmaus Correspondence courses are a wonderful tool to begin to study the Word of God. They're very reasonable, and they can begin to get you into the habit of studying the Word of God and learning more and more about it. So we have four fingers. But as we saw the other night, just four fingers doesn't give you a grasp of Scripture, does it? Anybody could take that Bible away with just those four fingers, even though you're reading, you're memorizing, you're meditating, and you're studying. It's fairly academic so far in terms of what we looked at. You can know the Scripture. You can read the Scripture. You can memorize the Scripture. You can study the Scripture. But there's one big thing lacking. And that's the thumb. And that is applying the Scripture. Making application of the Scripture to our own heart. You see, you can know the Bible from cover to cover and be unsaved. I had an uncle who was an alcoholic, and when he was drunk, he was the best gospel preacher I ever heard. My, he could preach the gospel and people could even get saved. But he was so far away from God, he didn't know him at all. You see, it was all up here. You see, the problem sometimes with us as Christians is just 18 inches. 18 inches makes all the difference in the world. The dimension from our head to our heart. We've got to take and allow the Word of God to move 18 inches into our heart and apply it to our lives. Would someone read for me Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7? Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. The application of God's Word to everyday life. Thank you. Mom and Dad, is the only time when you talk about the Scripture, is it when you're in church? Do you talk about God's Word and the principles of God's Word when you're home? When you're out in the yard? When you're doing work? When you're in the house? When you rise up? When you lay down? When you're going about your daily life? Is the Word of God incorporated in application? Is its authority felt throughout the day and the week of your entire life? Or is the Word of God just something you pick up on Sunday morning and carry to church, and within the four walls of this building, you have a Christian experience? And when you leave the four walls of this building, you have a secular life. That's not what God intends. God intends for us to take the Word of God and apply it in the practical, daily life of which we live. And so when we see situations that we come into situations where they're difficult, that are trying, situations that are tempting, situations that cause us to rejoice or cause us to be sad, the Word of God should be speaking to our hearts then. And that's the application. That's what gives us a grasp of the Scripture. And so read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, study the Word of God, and then take it to heart and allow the Word of God to shape your life in terms of how you live, how you think, the choices that you make, and the decisions of life. I have one more verse. My brother said I could take all night, but I'm not going to do that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Ephesians 6, 17. One brother or sister or child would read that for me. Ephesians 6, 17. Thank you. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're challenged to be soldiers to stand and defend the faith in our life to the enemy. And all of the armor is defensive. All of the armor is prepared to take a defensive stand. But there's one offensive weapon in that whole chapter. And that's the sword. Everything else is defensive. The helmet, the shield, the breastplate, and so on. But it talks about the sword. The sword is the offense. The sword is what we use to battle the enemy. And it says that the sword belongs to the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's not our sword. It's the Spirit's that lives within us. And then it goes on to say, which is the Word of God. You see, what the Spirit of God uses to defeat the enemy in our life is the Word of God that we bring into our life. And if you haven't been reading the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, applying the Word of God, you have a Holy Spirit inside you that doesn't have a sword. You've left the Holy Spirit defenseless to fight your battles. And so no wonder there's failure. No wonder we're weak as a believer. No wonder we give in to temptation. No wonder Satan wins the victory in our life. Because we have deprived the Holy Spirit of the single offensive weapon that he needs to fight those battles for us. It's the Word of God. So Colossians says, let the word of God dwell in us richly, drinking it in and filling our life. And that is the source of victory, as well as power for the Spirit of God to bring about a life pleasing unto Him. I hope that you gain a grasp of Scripture. Because I believe, seriously, as I started out tonight, it may not be our generation, but it may be our grandchildren that will face those soldiers at the front door. And I believe even in lands of freedom, our freedom is short-lived. And there's coming a day when we're going to have to give up our Bibles. Start bringing the Bible into your heart so when they take the paper, you still have what they can't take, the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we just recognize in Scripture that You've told us that there will be persecution. You've told us that the world hates You and the world will hate us as well. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves for the times when we lose our freedom. We thank You for the freedom that we have in this land. We thank You for the freedom that reigns throughout the Bahamas. We thank You for the freedoms that reign throughout the United States and that we can carry our Bibles and we don't have to be afraid. But Lord, we don't know how long this freedom will last. Give us a heart that longs for a grasp of Scripture so that it can never be taken away from us and that it will continue to be in the hand of the Spirit fighting the battles and winning the victories. Through Yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.